Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Many people say, and you've probably heard it said often, we live in an echo chamber. Today we live, the pace of life is just so fast. We tend to get our information from sources that reflect our own opinions and our own political leanings. Rarely, very rarely, if you think about it, are most of us open to information from sources outside of the echo chamber that we all bring to the table. And, you know, the way I know this is because the Fox News folks probably would never consider a story from CNN credible. And the people from CNN, the CNN folks would probably never consider a news from Fox credible. We have our, and I'm not saying either of them are bad. They're both what they are, right? Maybe I would say that both of them are bad. I don't know. Not here for me to judge this morning. But most of us are probably rarely willing to get information outside of the echo chamber that we tend to live in. So the information bounces around our echo chamber, and it's really hard to determine what is true and what is fake. We've got all of these terms like fake news and misinformation and being hacked and things like that. It's hard to determine what is true and what is fake. I remember many years ago, when you think about the echo chamber, Pastor Vicki and I were at the Grand Canyon. And one day we were off on the east end of the Grand Canyon in a gorge along the Colorado River that leads into the Grand Canyon. And it wasn't anything like the Grand Canyon, relatively speaking, but it was cool enough. One of the memories I have, it was cool enough to get up to the edge of it, and there was nobody around, so you could do this. There weren't any crowds, and you could just yell out, "Echo!" And you would hear echo, echo, echo. And I remember standing there and yelling that and counting at least 6 or 7 times that I could hear my voice say the word echo over and over again. And it was really, really, really kind of cool. Echoes, echoes, echo chambers. This is the theme this morning that I want to talk about. Some of my favorite Christmas songs are echo songs, right? If I just sang, "Do you hear what I hear?" You would sing. There you go. I just heard Bing Crosby sing that on the way to church this morning, right? Yeah, do you see what I see? Do you know what I know? For some people, the echoes of Christmas are a good thing. For some of us, as we're gathered here this morning, the echoes of Christmas are a good thing. The echoes of the holiday season, they are nostalgic. They evoke memories, good memories from the past. Wonderful, loving memories from the past. They evoke beautiful, beautiful thoughts and images in our mind. The holiday season is inspiring. The echoes of the holiday season are inspiring, even comforting to us. We get ourselves all settled down. For me, it's like the nostalgic symbol of Christmas past for Joe Case is the Coca-Cola Santa Claus. You know what I'm saying? Is the Coca-Cola Santa Claus is just kind of symbolic of, I think, the way we celebrated Christmas in the 20th century. But can you believe we're almost a quarter of the century into the 21st century? It's kind of crazy. But for some people, the echoes of Christmas are a good thing. Those echoes are great. For some people, however, just to be really straight, honest, and truthful, the echoes of Christmas are anything but good. Now hear me out this morning. The holiday season, it comes around on the calendar. And the echoes of Christmas, the echoes of the holiday season, they're painful. The holiday season evokes painful memories. For some people, it can be discouraging when the holiday season comes around. Maybe we're missing a loved one, we're grieving. For some people, the holiday season, quite frankly, can be upsetting. It can be traumatic because of things that have happened in the past that we associate with the Christmas season. And for many people, the echoes of the Christmas season are simply filled with stress. The holidays can echo with stress. Those echoes that we're thinking about this morning, when we think about the holidays, good or bad, if you think about it, those good nostalgic memories or maybe those bad traumatic echoes that ring in our minds, good or bad, they often have nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do with the original sounds, the original beats of the Christmas story. Part of getting ready for Christmas, part of why we do Advent, part of why we take 4 Sundays prior to the holy day is to get ready, to get ourselves ready. And I'm not just talking about buying Christmas gifts and all the stuff that we do. I'm talking about getting our hearts ready. Amen. To celebrate the holy day of Christmas. Part of getting ready for Christmas is to make sure we're taking the time to recalibrate our hearts and our souls back to the tones, the original beats of the Christmas story, of the Christmas narrative. When we choose to celebrate or avoid the echoes, good or traumatic or stressful, there's no way we can appreciate the original story or the true meaning of Christmas. We get caught up in the nostalgia, or we get caught up in the trauma. Nothing of it has to do with the original intent of the holiday. And that's where this morning in Luke chapter 1, where you have your thumb, we come upon the story of Zechariah. Luke chapter 1, verse 11, Zechariah is a priest who is serving in the temple. It was his privilege at this point in time to be the one priest who was selected to walk into the Holy of Holies, that place behind the curtain within the temple, that place where the Jewish people believed that that was the geographical spot where the Spirit of God manifested itself on the planet. And it was a privilege for Zechariah to be called and to do this. This was a privilege and part of his service as a priest, as a Levite. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 11, as he's going behind the curtain with a rope tied around his waist, because they tied a rope around your waist because they were afraid if something happened, there was no way anybody could go in and get you. So they needed a way to pull you out if something happened to you. Rope around waist. He's walking into the Holy of Holies. Luke chapter 1, verse 11. As he's standing there offering up the sacrifices in the Holy of Holies, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled. He was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John." Just 3 simple verses there this morning. There are so many echoes of the Christmas story embedded right there in the story of Zechariah, where we find him in the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem. So many echoes throughout Scripture pointing to how God works to restore humanity. And this passage about this angel's visit to Zechariah, it actually echoes almost beat for beat. It almost echoes the story of how the angel arrived to Mary, doesn't it? Think about it. Do you see the echo here? An angel. And we know the angel's name was Gabriel from the other Gospels. An angel named Gabriel suddenly appears to a human being. And that human being, what's their reaction? Their fear. Their reaction is fear. They're afraid. They're unsure. And then the angel says, "Don't be afraid. Fear not." Right? You see the beats? The similar beats here, the echoes. The angel says, "Fear not." And then, not only does the angel say to the individual, "Fear not," but then they say, "Unto you a child will be born." Do you see the echoes? Do you see the echoes of the Christmas story bearing out here? This foretelling of the birth of John the Baptist, it rhymes. It rhymes with the foretelling of the birth of Jesus Christ. But it also echoes the prophecy. A shoot will grow forth out of the stump of Jesse. That's in the Old Testament. That was a prophecy that was given hundreds of years before the birth of Christ. This echo, a shoot will grow forth out of the stump of Jesse. I have a tree stump in my backyard. I've got a couple of them these days. We cut the tree down many years ago. But every spring, guess what happens to that tree stump? Shoots of new growth start coming up out of that tree stump. Several years ago, in our backyard, we don't have them anymore because we just finished putting up a deck in our backyard. But we used to have this giant set of lilac bushes, and they would stand over 10 feet tall. And they got too tall and too out of control. So one year, I took a sawzall, and I cut them off really low to the ground. And Pastor Vicky was like, "What have you done?" Because it just looked like bony fingers sticking out of the ground. I said, "Where's Hoyt Axton to sing me that song?" Anybody remember Bony Fingers? Work your fingers to the bone. What do you get? Bony fingers. Bony fingers. Oh, you don't remember that. Come on now. That's the classic country DJ of Joe Case coming out this morning for you. God doesn't waste anything, but you're never going to forget my lilac roots sticking out of the ground like these bony fingers. And, you know, Pastor Vicky was like all over me, and she's like, "What have you done? What have you done?" And I was like, "Fear not." Didn't I? Fear not. Within a few months in the spring, there were fresh shoots growing up. And that lilac bush, it got back up to 10 feet tall probably within a year. It's the way it happens. That seems to be one of the original beats or the original themes of the Christmas story. Life out of nothing. Life out of nothing. That's the way God works. This is the pattern. This is the original tone, the original beat. It's the way God works. When we go all the way back to the beginning, back to Genesis, we find God bringing life out of nothing, speaking life out of nothing, breathing life, literally breathing life. The first ever CPR, breathing life into Adam. Breathing the breath of life into his lungs. Life into dust. Life out of dust. Life out of nothing. And as we go forward and we kind of thumb our way through the Old Testament, we find the story of Abraham. God brought forth a son through Abraham, whose wife was aged. She was in her 80s. And she was barren. And there's this theme in the scriptures that we find of barren women giving birth to children. Life out of nothing. Do you see the echo this morning? Maplewood. Another example. The birth of Samuel. Samuel was the priest who picked David to be the king of Israel. Samuel's story of his birth. His mother Hannah. Guess what? She was barren. She pined for a child, and the Lord blessed her with a child. Again, life out of nothing. A son for Zechariah. In Luke chapter 1, verse 11 through 13, "Unto you a child will be born, and you will name him John." And he's like, "How can me and my barren wife, who's also aged, have a child?" And the angel said, "Hey, dude, since you didn't believe, I'm going to zip your lip for 9 months. You're not going to be able to speak until this son is born." So we see this echo. Life out of barrenness. Stumps. Shoots coming forth from stumps, right? And then, also, as we look at the Christmas story, life out of nothing. The virgin birth is the ultimate life out of nothing story in the scriptures. The incarnation. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus as God, born into the form of a little vulnerable baby child. Life out of nothing. This is the pattern of God. Life, everlasting life, out of nothing. And it echoes down through our shared story of humanity. Echoes. Another original sound that echoes down through the scriptures. Another original sound of the Christmas story, as I've kind of looked at it here, is this whole notion of do not be afraid. Fear not! Fear not! How many times do we hear this phrase echoed from God to man throughout the scriptures? I did a little research over the past couple of weeks. The phrase fear not, or do not be afraid, It appears in the scriptures more than 100 times. Now, I could only get my echo to happen 5 or 6 times when I was at the Grand Canyon. But we find the phrase, fear not, do not be afraid, more than 100 times in scripture. When something happens more than 100 times, maybe we should pay attention to it.
Amen.
And I found one source this last week as I was studying that claims that there are at least 365 passages in the scriptures that advise various people in various situations to not succumb to their fears. More than 365 instances in the scriptures where we are advised to not give in to your fear. Do not succumb to your anxiety. We all have things that stress us out. Amen?
Amen.
We all have things that cause us anxiety. Isn't it wonderful to know that one of the original beats, one of the original sounds of the Christmas story is of God reaching out to humanity and offering us assurance? No matter where you're at this morning, folks, no matter what your situation is this year as you face this holiday season, know that the echo of assurance rings loud and clear through that story that we just read. Do not be afraid. Fear not. It's not just a message for Zechariah in Luke chapter 1. It's a message that echoes over and over again to God's people through this story that we are living out and sharing with them as we follow Jesus. We have nothing to fear when we not only place our trust in the author of the Christmas story, but also when we become part of the Christmas story by choosing to believe in the Christ child and choosing to become his apprentice. It's just like God. It's just like our God to step into the midst of our trauma, in the midst of our stress, in the midst of our crisis, and whisper into our hearts, it's going to be okay. I've got you. I'm holding you. Do not be afraid. If you believe in me, nothing can harm you. I've got you. I'm holding you. I'm with you. You are not alone. Fear not. God wants to whisper the echo of assurance into our hearts this Christmas season, if we'll only allow him. Another original sound of the Christmas story that echoes over and over again is deliverance. Deliverance. If you could go all the way back into the Old Testament again, we read the story of Joseph. Not Joe, me, but Joseph. Joseph, we know in that story that Joseph is delivered from the hands of the slave traders. His brothers were jealous of him because his dad gave him a coat of many colors. He was favored by his father. His brothers hated him. And they decided to get rid of him. And instead of killing him, they decided to basically sell him off to slave traders. Joseph was one of the early people we know by name who was a victim of human trafficking. Human trafficking is not just an Old Testament thing. It's something that happens in our world. It's something that's happening in our community right now. Joseph was delivered from human trafficking, from slavery. When his brothers intended ill, God intended good. And God made good come out of that awful situation. We page forward, generations forward, Joseph went and he worked for Potiphar and he became one of the leaders of Egypt out of his whole story. And he convinced the Pharaoh to allow all of his family to come down to Egypt and live with him eventually. It was kind of like a Hallmark movie. It had a happy ending. Yeah? They all have happy endings, right, Pastor Vicki? Just making sure. I think they all do. But over time, we read in the scriptures that family grew and grew and grew, and the Egyptians grew to hate them, and the Egyptians grew to despise them. They developed a prejudice. They developed an air of superiority, and they enslaved the family of Joseph, who generations and generations and generations down the road, this nation had grown up to be thousands and thousands and thousands of people, 12 tribes of people, who all they did every day was build buildings and pyramids and things like that, such in Egypt. They pounded their feet in the mud with straw and they made bricks. They were slaves. It was hard labor. It was a hard life. But then a man was raised up, Moses. Moses was raised up and Moses helped deliver the people of Israel out of the bondage of slavery, out of the shackles of Pharaoh. And then we go hundreds and hundreds of years further on into the history of Israel. And this nation is warned over and over again about its disobedience to God. And that, hey, the piper's coming. And you're going to have to pay a price for your disobedience. We see the nation of Babylon sweep in and wipe out the entire society, the entire nation of Israel, take the entire country back to Babylon as slaves. And what we always forget is that they were actually freed. The Israelites, there was a portion of the nation of Israel that was delivered so that they could go back to Jerusalem and rebuild up the temple. They became favored once again. So there's this cycle of favor, enslavement, deliverance that we see happening throughout the scriptures. It's an echo. It's an echo. Favor, enslavement, deliverance, favor. You see it happening in the Christmas story? How many times do we see in the Christmas story you have enjoyed the favor of God? You know, Mary's told that by the angel, right? Deliverance. Deliverance. Another, you know, we see it through the story of Jesus here. Deliverance through the Messiah. The one for whom Zechariah's son will prepare the way is happening in the Christmas story. This echo that started all the way back with Joseph and probably even prior to him throughout the scriptures. It's echoing all the way through the story of humanity, all the way through the story of the Bible, all the way up until Zechariah's time in this temple. And the angel says to him in verse 14, "This son who's going to be born to you will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth." By the way, parentheses echo, very similar to what Hannah was told about Samuel, her son, way back in the Old Testament. Another echo. These stories echo one another. The angel says to Zechariah, "Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God." Deliverance! Deliverance! "And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." The echo of deliverance. Can you hear it echoing through the story? And now God wants the echoes of life out of nothing. And assurance. Fear not. And deliverance to carry on through our lives. May the echo continue through our lives, through our generation, to our children's generation, to their children's generation. No pressure. May it echo on and on. These are the original sounds, the original beats, the original themes of the Christmas story. And these beautiful tones, just like these singers here this morning and the band we had this morning, those tones weave together, those beats weave together, they harmonize together into this beautiful story of the incarnation of the Christ child. The one who brings life everlasting. The one who brings assurance and comfort unending. The one who brings deliverance all free. This morning, as your pastor, it's my privilege to encourage you to turn off all the noise of the echo chamber and come back to the true meaning of Christmas. The true meaning of this season. I know for many people that the holiday season is challenging. I realize this is tough for many of our people. The fourth quarter of the year, if you go back in the history of just Maplewood since Pastor Vicki and I have been here, the fourth quarter, the third quarter, fourth quarter of the calendar year, lots of loss, lots of anniversaries of loss. Can just be challenging just for that matter. For many of us. And so I know it's difficult. One of my favorite TV shows, as many of you know, has always been The West Wing. As a matter of fact, I have West Wing socks on this morning. You don't believe me, but I'll ask Stephen if I can get my shoe off. Stephen or Taylor, what's this one say?
Do not disturb.
I'm watching the West Wing.
So I got my West Wing socks on. I just wanted to prove it to you all this morning.
It's for when he's in the recliner. You can
that. When you come into my little man cave, you can see on my socks, do not disturb, I'm watching the West Wing. I don't know if you've watched the West Wing before. Anybody watched the West Wing before? It's one of my favorite shows. I think I've watched the entire series. I think I'm on my ninth run through the entire series. I love that show. And in one of the episodes, one of the Christmas episodes of The West Wing, I love all the Christmas shows of The West Wing. One of my favorite characters in the show, his name is Josh Lyman. And I think I've got a picture of him up here. And this is from one of the Christmas episodes. Josh Lyman in this episode, you don't need to know what he does. You just need to know that he's a real humbug in this episode about all the Christmas music that's being played in the White House that Christmas season. They're bringing bands in, they're bringing orchestras, bagpipes in the lobby of the White House, part of this, driving him crazy, and he's just really angry about it. And it's weaved throughout the whole show, and it turns out that Josh is not just upset with the music, he's equating the Christmas music and the horns and all the noise with sirens from ambulances and fire trucks. Because his character, it turns out, those sirens and the noise of the music is triggering memories of when his character was shot during an assassination attempt of the president. He was caught in the crossfire, and he was dealing with PTSD, and he didn't realize that he was dealing with PTSD. And in this scene right up here, he like has this like breakdown moment in a Yo-Yo Ma concert at the White House. And he's remembering the sounds of the gunshots and the sirens and all of that stuff. And it's creating trauma. Christmas is creating a trauma in his life. You see how that's happening there? Christmas is creating a trauma. The echoes of Christmas are triggering a traumatic reaction. And for some of us, nobody's specifically been shot during a presidential assassination attempt in our congregation. But for many of us, the echoes of Christmas cause traumatic reactions. Mental health during this time of year is a real challenge. I see Kat's back there nodding her head. She's our in-house expert on mental health issues. That's what she does for a living. She helps people. Mental health during this time of year is really, really tough. And none of us have gone through that specific type of trauma, but we can all identify with something about the holidays triggering something good or bad in our minds. So it may be a negative thing, or maybe we've fallen in love with the nostalgia. We can be really guilty of falling in love with the nostalgia of Christmas, of a secular memory of Christmas that is beautiful. It's a family-related memory, but it has nothing to do with the original intent of the holiday. So how do we cut through the noise? How do we turn off the noise? How do we get out of the echo chamber of all this stuff, good or bad, creating all these misleading echoes of Christmas in our lives? How do I do it, Pastor? How do I break through the noise? The Apostle Paul, I think he gives us a little bit of a clue, some really good advice in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 says, "If I speak in the tongue of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." I want to read that again for you this morning. It's up on the screen. "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." Has anybody here ever crashed cymbals together? Oh, we've got a couple of you. It's one of my favorite memes on the internet. This poor boy, it's the Star Spangled Banner. His band's playing. His cymbals fall apart. He doesn't know what to do, so he just salutes the flag. Oh, you got to make sure those things are tied together, because when you bang them together, they can just fall apart. I love that. Anybody ever taken a swing at a gong? Swing at a gong? A real gong? Yeah, see, you got to prime it, don't you? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Before our big event, the night before, and band was only like 30 minutes, and then afterwards somebody was running by with the book bag, and the book bag hit the crash cymbal and it fell on the ground.
Yep, and it made a big clanging noise, didn't it? Well, you take a you crash cymbals, or you take a swipe at a gong. I've done both before. And you know, I've actually, one of the things you may not know about your pastor, percussionist, so I play many types of drum instruments, not just the drum box. I'll get back to that hopefully at the beginning of the year. But a big part of learning how to play the cymbals or the gong is learning how and when to muffle the sound. Because you don't want that clanging reverberation going on forever and ever, because it can freak everybody out and it can drown all the sound out. And so you have to learn how and when to muffle the echoing reverberations that are occurring after contact. In order to muffle a pair of cymbals when you crash them, you've got to pull them close to your body. Jeff Dinger knows it. You got to pull them close. You got to pull them in close to your body, and you stop the ringing. In order to muffle a gong, after you take a swing at that gong, the way to make that thing stop ringing is you kind of got to grab it and clutch it with your body. You got to hold it close to stop the reverberations. In order to muffle the nostalgic or traumatic echoes of the season that have nothing to do with the original Christ story, we need to embrace the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We need to embrace the love of Jesus. And that's the call for all of us today. As we're preparing for Christmas, take the time, make the time, don't forsake the time we have this holiday season to embrace the love of the Christ child. Make the time for it. Don't miss the opportunity to embrace the promise of life everlasting. Embrace the promise of assurance and comfort in the midst of our fears. Are you with me? Embrace the promise of deliverance from our sin. It's time, church, to step out of the echo chamber, whether good or bad, the nostalgia or the trauma. It's time to step out of that. I want you to step out of that echo chamber this holiday season. You've got to intentionally do it. The way you do it is you embrace the love of Jesus. Stop all the noise. Silence your heart. And embrace the love of Christ. It's time to step out of the Christmas echo chamber and bring the love of Christ not just close to our chest, because this is where I think people miss it, but to give the love of the Christ child full access to our heart and soul. It's not just about rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. You know, it's not just about dancing around the meaning of Christmas. It's not just about embracing it close and bringing it close. It's about allowing Jesus to come in and do business in our hearts. And giving Him the ability to do that. And to begin to reform and remake us from the inside out into the people He originally meant us to be. To find the fulfillment that we're seeking in our lives. To find the purpose that we've been aching for that's missing. To find the peace because we're stirred and we don't know why. To find His love within us. It's when we embrace the love of Christ, that is the time. Then and only then will the true meaning of Christmas echo in our hearts now and allow us to perpetuate the echo of that story in our children and our children's children and generations to come. Maplewood, this is our time. This is a special Christmas, I feel like this. I feel like the Lord is moving us to begin to move into our next chapter. We're transitioning from what we were prior to the pandemic, and we've been going through this process over the past couple of years, and we're shifting into who Maplewood will be for generations to come. And I don't know about you, but I don't want the nostalgia and I don't want the trauma to be what defines who we are as a people moving forward. I want to embrace the love of Jesus. And I want the love of Jesus to come in us, transform us from the inside out, so we can be the faith community this community needs.
Amen.
In the days and the months and the years to come.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.